This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer looking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
Take two. We've had some technical problems without George tonight, and we lost about 30 minutes recording. So if we chuckle to ourselves when we say things again, please bear with us. I'm here tonight in Thames Ditton. I was in a basement. I'm no longer in a basement because my internet cut out. So hopefully it won't do that again. But with us tonight is Nigel. I would imagine you're in your shed, aren't you?
I'm in my shed.
Yeah, in my shed.
In my shed. I'm in my shed.
He lives in Syria. And where do you talk from? Is it deepest, darkest Essex?
It's not deepest, darkest Essex. It's very near to the Thurrock crossing.
All right.
So just outside the M25. I live about 100 yards across the M25.
But you're a proper Cockney, aren't you? Because you were born in the sound of Bow Bells, weren't you? Barking boy.
Shut up, barking boy.
Plasto boy.
Plasto boy, yeah. Well, it's not within the sound of Bow Bells. Because I think we've done this before, that the Bow Bells is at the bottom of Bishopsgate, St Mary Le Bow, I believe. And the wind travelled as far as Stratford up until about the 1880s. The sound could be heard up to Stratford. And then all the buildings they started building blocked out the sound. So to be fair, to be a proper Cockney born within the sound of Bow Bells, I think about only Whitechapel Hospital can probably make that claim, and that'll be at a push.
Anyway, you're in your shed. What are you watching?
I'm watching a 201 West Ham's great goals that started with 1980, and I'm now up to 1990. Stuart Slater is about to score goal. There you go. Oh, no, Georgie crossed it with George Parrish to score. Chicken George has got one. Ian Bishop is about to score against Aldershot. This is a good goal, this. He's going to crack this in a minute. Here it goes, bang, in the back of the net. Thank you very much. Peter Rucker in goal, for those that remember him from QPR, for all the shot that night. I think we won the game 6-1. So
excellent, excellent. Probably more exciting than talking about the baggies. John, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm still here in my loft, and I'm talking to you. Actually, we were talking with Nigel and discussing the merits of David Kelly. Was he really as bad as we remember him to be?
Yeah.
So we were.
I've just watched him score some good goals. So I'm thinking, you know,
he was good. He was pucker.
He's not up there. He's not a my eager, is he? You know, or a Meadow.
No.
He's sort of.
He's not a Mark Boogers.
Off the top of my head, I think he got about 12 or 13 that season we went down, even though that is off the top of my head. So.
Well, that's quite a good scoring record if you think about any of our strikers lately. Here's a bit of trivia for you. When was the last striker to score 13 goals for West Ham?
13?
What, in one season?
13 or more. What, in one season, 13 or more.
Did Colton not do it in the Championship? Or are we only talking Premier League?
I don't know. This you're the historian.
I think Colton got more than that in the Championship.
Harewood. How many did Andy Carroll get in his first season? Did he ever get 13?
He got 13? About 9 or 10.
Right. So it's Carlton Cole, a last person to get 13 or more. How about in the top flight in the Premier League? Was
top
that
flight,
someone
John
like
Artson, 97-98, got 24 goals. I think 19 in the league.
So what you're saying is for 20 years, we haven't had one player that scored 13 goals or more in the top flight.
Well, we might have done 13, but no, we've not had a 20 goal.
Not 20 goal. Definitely not 20 goal. Not since Artson.
While we're watching this, I want you to come and say, who was the last player to score 13 goals in a Premier League season by the end of the podcast? That's your little homework.
And then everyone let us know whether Kelly was as bad as we remember him to be or not.
Yeah, because I'm watching this DVD. I don't think Kelly was as bad as I thought, to be fair. I think I've done him a disservice.
Yeah, in history, in our minds, I think he used to run a bit awkward, didn't he?
He looked funny. Yeah.
So I think we just don't have a great memory of the man.
I think it's because we went down that season. It's not. I know it's not a history podcast, but
it's not a history podcast. I was about to say that. Where's George tonight, John?
George is
laughing at
Friday.
Us. I think.
Yeah, he's asked us how it's going, and he's on holiday in Calador in Mallorca, Sean.
And why is he there?
He's there with his girlfriend, and he's returned there because that's where he's decided, because they went there early on in their relationship, to go there, and he's just got engaged. He's asked her to marry him, and they've just got engaged.
Did she say yes?
She did, yes. So congratulations to George and his future wife, Kath.
Now, if I was organised, I'd have a little jingle going, congratulations, da-da, but I'm not, so we won't do that. And it's not an engagement podcast. But congratulations, George, from all of us at More Than Just a Podcast.
Yeah, we'll have a minute.
Shall we talk about some football? It wasn't funny the first time.
No, I just said it the second time.
give us something to celebrate on Saturday, won't it? You know,
yeah,
not about
yeah,
what happens. We can still raise a glass, can't we?
Anyway, as I said the first time, John, can you feel the next 40 minutes of the podcast be talking about our game against the Baggies, against the Hawthorns?
Against the Hawthorns?
At the Hawthorns, against the Baggies. Okay.
I can't feel 40 minutes, no, but I can say it was a dour, drab affair, and it wasn't very entertaining to watch, but, you know, it was a pretty average performance all round, and the kind of thing you get when you're trying to build your defensive confidence because of our poor run before this game, and you come up against a West Brom team that are just set up not to lose as well. So get those two things together, it ended up with a pretty dour affair, pretty crap game, and nothing more to say really. It's all, you know, no one done particularly outstandingly well, but, you know, everyone done well enough not to lose the game. But we just didn't have anything about us to score the goals or make the breakthrough, unfortunately.
If I had to push you from your man of the match, though.
I think I settled on Mikel Antonio because he always pleases the eye, I think, at the end of the day. I think his close ball control's improved. Beforehand, he used to sort of bundle through, but now he seems to be really, I think he's picked up his game. I think he's looking good.
So that's 2.5 minutes of the 40 minutes done. Nigel?
Yeah, it was rubbish, wasn't it? Come on, let's not beat about the bush. It was a dull game. you're not going to play good football every game. We're not going to see it, you know, against West Brom. Getting a point against a Tony Pulis team could be deemed a success at times. But we did what we had to do away from home. We didn't concede. We didn't lose. We got a point. We're at the bottom three. Happy days. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, I guess Joe Hart summed it up when he said before the beginning of the game that this wouldn't be a game for football purists. And we, you know what you're going to get with Tony Pulis. You know, we know how he played at Stoke. But I guess what surprised me was here's a team playing at home, West Brom, and they didn't seem to want to win it. You know, they seemed to be playing for the draw more than us. And it didn't, you know, I couldn't imagine a more boring game. And you know, that's not all fans who paid all their money to travel up to the Hawthorns. The baggies seemed to leave early. Their fans were leaving early because they were fed up with the football as well. I don't know who gained out of this. It certainly wasn't entertainment. There's no way, you know, the TV companies would have picked this up and shown it. So... Well, it was one of the dullest games I've ever seen.
One of the TV companies did, because we all watched it on a live somewhere. So somebody had
who out of choice. You can imagine that, you know, teams like, I don't know who in America or Australia was watching West Ham, West Brom.
Well, no, it was just pretty. But I mean, the Obiang attempt, wasn't it? Was pretty.
Only the mad Americans that support West Ham.
Yeah, and that's a point. You did mention this. The Obiang
attempt. The Obiang attempt was. That would have changed the game, wouldn't it, if that had gone in? And, yeah, and then the foul on Hernandez,
Was it a red card?
I thought at the time it probably wasn't a red card. I thought the ref got that right. To be fair, there was cover, defensive cover back, and the foul in itself, I didn't think, warranted a straight red, so.
Yeah. Well, let me just do the stats. West Ham actually enjoyed 63% of possession. Which is amazing because they're away from home, which means Baggies had 37%. West Ham, 9 shots, 1 on target. Baggies, 6 shots, 1 on target. I'm surprised there was 1 on target apiece, but that just shows you how dull the game was. I'm going to move on. On our first take, at the recording of the gaffer talking about the game, was very quiet, and I think it's not going to do any justice with George Way this week. I think we've got enough technical problems without trying to show our gaffer clip. But what we did talk about last time, on moving on from such a dull game, is saying, should a team play attacking football? Are they there to entertain or just get results? I'm starting with you, John, because I know I've asked you this question before, so you'll be all ready to talk about it. Should they be entertaining us? Should Tony Pulis and his team and West Ham be entertaining us?
Well, yeah, we've said that, you know, well, we've said it. No one else has heard it. There's not a right for anyone to really, I don't think, to expect to be entertained as such, because, you know, the trouble is, well, historically, teams like our teams have played a certain way, but we've kind of lost our way a bit over the last few seasons. And it's become a case of the pressure of the money. It's all about staying in the Premier League. It's all about survival. So until we get to a stage where we start campaigns and get comfortable quite early on, I don't think we're going to see fast flowing entertaining football, because the pressure's on, I'm afraid. It's all about the money.
We're not having a luck, are we, John, tonight?
What do you want to do? Do you want to cancel it and give it a rest and put it out there due to technical issues? There won't be a podcast tonight.
Well, we're not going to give out that easily. So this is take three, but it is me on my own, Sean, recording the next day. We had some technical problems. George is back next week. Hopefully we'll resolve all those technical problems, although I like to think that these are external technical problems and not just because George is on, not honeymoon, but on his engagement holiday at the moment. Earlier today, I caught up with Barry Fry, and for those who don't know, Barry Fry is the director of football at Peterborough, but he is also a manager under Gold, Sullivan and Brady at Birmingham, and he was sacked by them. So I thought it would be good to chat with him what it's like to be a manager, what it's like to be sacked under Gold, Sullivan and Brady.
And we welcome back to More Than Just a Podcast. He's been a guest with us before. It's Barry Fry, now director of football, but he once was a manager at Birmingham under David Gold and David Sullivan. And we wanted to chat with him briefly about that experience. Hi, Barry.
Morning.
So, obviously, there's been a lot of talk in the papers about Gold and Sullivan and their management style. You survived Gold and Sullivan at Birmingham. Can you tell us what the relationship was like with Gold and Sullivan and how you survived? I think you got sacked in the end, didn't you?
Yeah, I always get sacked, but I've always been friends with them. And, you know, I was David Gold and David Sullivan's guest last week when we beat Huddersfield 2-0. And the atmosphere at the new stadium was absolutely magnificent. We needed that win. We had sort of three away games where we struggled a little bit, but it was just great to get 3 points. And I see they carried that on at the weekend when they went away to West Brom. Difficult game and got a point as well. So let's hope we've turned the corner.
So what did you have to do to get the sack in the end? Because my understanding is they're not sackers, really.
They're not. No, they're very fair to their managers. They give their managers time. They back their managers. And, you know, they're very, very good to work with. I think the best thing is when they sack you, you don't have to wait for your money or anything like that. They pay you straight up. They're brilliant. And everybody knows in football that normally when a manager gets sacked, he has to fight and fight and fight for his compensation. And by the time he's took him to court and all that, whatever he gets out of it goes to the lawyers anyway. So they finish up with next to nothing. But when they sacked me the next day, they paid me everything and was very, very good to me. And we've been friends ever since. I mean, they sacked me to bring in Trevor Francis. Trevor Francis was God at Birmingham City. So I had the best 2.5 years of my life working for them and Karen. They was good, they was hard, but they was fair. So
did you know the sacking was coming? Did you have any showdown meetings where you were told you've got to win
games? No, to be fair, I didn't see the sacking coming. We'd done the double the year before. Well, I took them to Wembley in the Auto Windscreen Shield Trophy final where we won in front of 78,000 people, 55,000 blue noses, which was a bigger gate than the FA Cup final that year with Liverpool in. We got to the...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Semi-final of the Coca-Cola Cup, we'd just beat Aston Villa in the Birmingham Senior Cup, first time Birmingham had won the Birmingham Senior Cup for 17 years, So I just signed Marcus Stewart and Martin O'Connor and was going to a tribunal for both of them. So, no, I didn't see the sacking coming, but when I did get the sack, I told them that thanks for a wonderful opportunity to manage such a big club like Birmingham City Football Club. And those gentlemen and Karen turned that club around completely and took it to the promised land, the Premier League, twice. And, you know, when they took over at West Ham, it was a huge, huge, huge gamble. You know, I think they put 100 million in between them. When they got in, they found out that the previous owners had factored the season tickets for the next 3 years, so they had little or no income on that side. So they took a huge gamble when they took West Ham over, but they'd always been in love with West Ham. They had plenty of shares, but not enough before they sold them and went to Birmingham City. I think they've done marvellous. And West Ham fans are lucky to have them, to be honest.
Well, there seems to be a bit of anti-board feeling at the moment, which is strange to some, you know, after the bad start to the season. I know we've strung a couple of results together, but sort of seem to be blaming the board for not investing so much in the summer, despite us getting four signings. How do you rate them as owners and a board? From your experience,
I think they're very fair. As a manager, I used to go to them and I want this player, I want that player. It's going to cost this, it's going to cost that. You know, you have to put a good argument up to get them, because they were saying, "Well, we haven't got this money, we haven't got that money, so how are we going to do it?" But at the end of the day, if you put a good enough case up, they always come back to you and say, "Okay, we'll back you." You know, they back me 99% of the time to get, and as a manager, that's brilliant. You just get your players in and get on with it. So I was very, very surprised to hear that a small majority of West Ham fans had turned against the owners. I mean, what they're lucky to have them. They wouldn't even have a football club if it weren't for Golden Sullivan and Brady. They wouldn't have a football club. These guys have worked very hard to get to where they are in the financial stakes, and they're willing to put it into West Ham United Football Club to get it out the shit it was in and to take it forward, which they have done. But it takes time. And I'm not amazed. I mean, you always get some... Look, football's all a matter of opinion. So with West Ham vast fans, you're going to have some against everybody, aren't you? So, my advice to Gold, Sullivan and Brady is take no notice whatsoever and carry on the good work you're doing for the sake of West Ham United Football Club.
Yeah. Just out of interest, who actually does the deed when a manager gets sacked? Is it Gold, Sullivan or Brady?
Well, to be honest, none of them done it with me. I'd been sacked a fortnight and nobody had told me, but
you found out in the media, Jack,
Jolly
Barry.
Jolly Jack Wiseman sacked me in the end. Oh, he told me I was sacked a fortnight ago, but look, these things happen in football, and like I say, I've been in football. I was lucky to be a manager for 32 years, and believe you me, I got sacked more than anybody, but I enjoyed my life, never fell out with anybody, and I'm very proud to say that David Gold, David Sullivan and Karen are great friends of mine, and I'm welcome at the stadium in London now whenever I can make it.
Excellent. Last question. There's been criticism of David Sullivan that really is a little bit out of touch as a director of football. He's not the official director of football, but he does all the transfer business. He's a de facto director of football. What is your view? Because you are a director of football at Peterborough. Should David Sullivan bring in someone else to do that role, or do you think he's got the skills?
No, David Sullivan's been in the game long enough. He's got a good opinion. He's got a good knowledge of football. You won't get anybody more passionate or more committed than David Sullivan or David Gold in a quieter way. So, like I said before, like I'll keep on saying, West Ham United fans are lucky to have David Gold, David Sullivan and Karen Brady.
Excellent. And you obviously were there for the Huddersfield game. How do you think we got on? How do you think we're fair this season?
Well, I think I think there was only one side in it, and West Ham, although they got a deflection for the opening goal, they thoroughly deserved it because they had many, many chances and they should have been a 2 or 3 up at half time. But I was just delighted that they had a bit of luck for a change and they won the game, and Andy Carroll made an appearance. He makes such a difference. You know, he's very, very dear. I was speaking to the Huddersfield directors, and he's unplayable at time, and unfortunately he's had too many injuries and missed too many games. So let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that he's plays more games than he normally does this season.
Excellent. Well, thanks for being a guest on More Than Just a Podcast, and good luck at Peter for the rest of the season. Cheers,
thanks,
Barry.
Thanks very much. God bless you. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
So I could say, what do you think about that then, John? Or Nigel, but they're not here. So there's no one to talk to except me. So I guess the only thing to say is it's time for this.
Facebook, Twitter, question time.
Yeah, it's time for a solo Facebook, Twitter question time. So let me get the Facebook up. Mike Hutchins says, looks like no Ginge for a few months. Is it time now to see if he's going to play free at the back? Declan Rice. Well, we've got the Bolton game coming up. I don't know. I would actually play Declan Rice just in front of the centre-backs anyway, and give him a go there in defensive midfield. But we will see tonight. By the time you listen to it, you might already know. Paul Sanders says, given that Bilic was written off a week ago, if we beat Bolton and get something out of the Spuds game, do we consider Slav for the future, or is he a dead man walking regardless? Personally, while the Man U and Newcastle games weren't good, I thought the Newcastle game, the Southampton game showed signs of encouragement. And with 4 points from the last two, I'm optimistic-ish. Personally, I think he's a dead man walking. I don't think he'd be offered a new contract. And therefore, I expect someone else to come in the future. I'm not sure what he has to do to save his job and be offered a new contract, but I guess never say never. Taffy Wallback says, if you did go to the game or watched it on live stream, can you confirm or deny that Match of the Day's highlights made West Ham, or sort of made West Brom look like an attacking side and not the defensive boar fest I've read on the forums? Yes, I did watch a live stream. I didn't watch Match of the Day, actually, but I know, a bit like Big Brother, they can make it look a lot worse than it was, and you don't see the whole game. It was a bore fest, and as we said on the stats earlier, each team had one shot on target. So to say West Brom looked like an attacking side is far from the truth. So yes, if Match of the Day did do that in the highlights, they were completely wrong. Sergei Norash says, what do you expect from tomorrow's game versus Bolton? Should we really go for it, or should we use it as a possibility for the likes of Rice to prove themselves and gain some confidence? Well, we need to win it, right? Let's make no mistakes. It's not just an experimental friendly. We need a little bit of a cup run to get some confidence back, get some pride back. So I don't see it as experimental. And the chance for Rice to prove himself. I think he's proved himself at the top level anyway. I think he deserves his place. Obviously, Adrian will come in. I think, Noble will come back. Bonner will get a chance. So I expect him to make quite a lot of changes. Fenner Fenton, playing Little P and Big AC, Andy Carroll up top, has to be a dream combo. No? Question mark. Big man and a finisher? Question mark. And today it sounds like Super Slav can't play them together. What's going on? I don't rate Arnie at all. And all this putting Antonio on the right back when we could have won on Saturday. He could have gone 4-4-2 or put Slav as a right centre back. Love Slav, but his tactics are not really present or understandable. Come on, you Irons. Yep. I agree. If there's one thing that annoys the hell out of me is the excuses Slav comes out with and his obsession with playing people out of position. I know he said, oh, I didn't play Little P, Chicharito out wide. He was just off the striker, but I didn't see that. Moving on. Paul Coles says, in my opinion, the football under Billich is no better than Fat Sam. Do you think Billich's departure at the end of the season is inevitable? In a word, yes. I don't think it's as bad as Big Sam, but I do think his departure is inevitable when we get to the end of the season. I don't see him getting a new contract. John Borum says, hope you talk about the madness of having one Premier League's of best poachers, yet Billich keeps on playing him on the left wing. Well, we've just discussed that. He says he doesn't play him on the left wing. He's just off the striker. So is he blaming Hernandez there for playing not where he's told him to play? Or it just doesn't work? I don't know. I would probably take, you know, without a doubt, Hernandez is a fox in a box. He's just not being played right at the moment. And I think Billich has got to take the blame for that. Phil Walker says, KUMB saying Lanzini out for another month. Apart from him and Ginge, are we at full strength for Bolton and Spurs? Predictions, he says, 2-1 Bolton, West Ham win, and 2-1 against Spurs. Well, Phil, very optimistic, particularly against Spurs. Yeah, Lanzini is, I think, out for another month. Billich said itself in the press conference on Monday for the Bolton game pre-match press conference. He said he'd only started training this week. In fact, he starts today, Tuesday, when I record this. And he is going to not... He said there's a small possibility he could be back for the Swansea game. But the likely is he'll be back after the international break, which is actually the 15th of October. So that's the likelihood. And considering it's mid-September now, he probably is out for another month. So, yes, Phil, KUMB, I think, are following what Billich said in his press conference. So, yeah, it looks like he's out for another month. And if anything, Billich is optimistic, saying he'll be back for the Swansea game. Roy Francis says, hi chaps, was at the Hall Phones on Saturday. Do you agree with me that Ben Foster should have been sent off? Or is it like the Match of the Day pundit said that yellow card was the right decision? Well, I haven't seen a replay of this. I saw it live. We did talk about it on the podcast. I think it would have been harsh for a sending off, but I have seen them given. So, you know, the Match of the Day pundits always think they've got, but it could have gone either way. But it is what it is. Respect the point. Ed Hawthorne says, what is saltier, the popcorn at the London Stadium or Nigel's thoughts about the London Stadium? I'm not sure I get that. Well, actually, the popcorn at the London Stadium is quite sweet. I think it's that caramel stuff rather than the salty stuff. I don't know. I've not tasted it. And I don't want to taste anything of Nigel's, thank you very much. So I'd like to go for... I don't understand the question. I'm not going to answer it. And finally, David White says, would you like to see time given to fringe players tomorrow night? So he's obviously talking about Bolton. No, I'd like to win it. I don't think there's time for fringe players, and I don't consider Declan Rice a fringe player. I consider him a decent player that's proved himself. So I see Declan Rice playing. I don't see any other fringe players playing. I think we need to get a solid win and move on from there, because, you know, we let's be honest, you know, we've had one win just about with a bit of luck. We've had one boar fest, which we got a point. We had a little game against Cheltenham. We won 2-0. So we really could do tonight with a Bolton game before we play Spurs of coming up with a decent win. I think that's about it for today. Without anyone else to talk to, I guess we just got to do predictions, and I've got to do my own predictions because we didn't get time to get them from Nigel or John. So I will say that Bolton, I think they'll play to try and stop us playing our game, Bolton. They're not doing too well, if I remember, in their own league. So I will go 2-0 West Ham tonight against Bolton. Spurs on Saturday. This is a difficult one. I am going to say... my heart says a win. My head says a draw. So I'm going to go. My heart says a 1-0 win with Little P scoring the winner. And my head says a 0-0 draw. We stop them playing their game and do what West Brom did to us. And they get frustrated. They have lots of chances. But our back four, or back three, or back five stay steady. And, let's hope we win. That's it from me. I've been Sean. Nigel was here, but now gone. John was here, but now gone. You heard George is in Mallorca. We are back next week, hopefully with less technical problems. All there's to say is me is, come on, you Irons. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.